Beetroot juice, used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, caused waves at the last Olympics. Clinical studies proved 2 glasses of beetroot juice per day could increase stamina by 16%. I've been using it, and this product is excellent. Beets are a nutrition goldmine, so call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. Get a 30-day supply free. That's 800-738-2198 or intelligentbeets.com. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Layla, how you doing?
Okay. How are you doing, Dr. Hoffman?
Good, good. So in part one, we covered a lot of ground, but you have some additional questions. By the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the way you get questions to us, so fire away.
Okay. This question comes from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. What is your view of AMPK? Gary Null claims it can help destroy amyloid plaques, which are implicated in Alzheimer's, then it could reduce degeneration of brain cells. And AMPK, for our listeners, is adenosine monophosphate activated protein kinase. There's a mouthful.
Right.
Now, what AMPK is, it's found in all the cells of our body. It's a master regulator that can help fend off degenerative factors. It helps to revitalize our aging cells. It is also helpful in reducing fat storage, regulating blood sugar levels, creating new mitochondria. Mitochondria is the powerhouse of all of our cells. We have a lot of AMPK in our youth, but it starts to dwindle as we get older. And then, as we get older, the dangers of reduced AMPK is increases in belly fat, chronic inflammation, insulin resistance, high lipids, a whole slew of things, including reduced numbers and function of mitochondria. All the things that, yeah, cause us to age in one
right.
way or another.
So, send me a case of that stuff, because it sounds great. I want a case. It just sounds fantastic.
We got to send it out to everybody.
It fights aging. It reduces belly fat. It breaks up amyloid plaque in your brain. I mean, that's like the bomb.
I want it.
Until 2 minutes ago, I hadn't even heard about it, but I want it. So just, I'm going to click on that box. Send it to me.
Can
I get it tomorrow?
Dr. Hoffman, but wait.
What? Yeah,
there are also natural ways. There are natural ways to boost AMPK.
Well, what do you mean? I can't buy AMPK.
No, your body has to make the stuff.
Oh.
We can boost it by exercising.
Okay.
Especially with regular vigorous exercise.
Right.
Like high intensity interval training.
Right.
Calorie restriction. Oh, that's fun. When
right.
we under eat,
that's
we
the thing
create
that,
increased.
Yeah, you have to under it by about 40%. And that's the sirtuin pathway that resveratrol seems to work on, right?
Yes.
I'd rather drink red wine than fast or, you know, restrict calories 40%. Okay, keep going.
Botanical extracts, such as rose hips, gynostemma, pentaphyllum something.
So now we're getting to the heart of this.
Metformin also.
Okay, wait, we're getting to the heart of this because what they're offering here, Life Extension is offering, is a combination of rose hips and something called gynostemin?
It's gynostemma pentaphyllum.
Gynostemma pentaphyllum. Mm. Okay, so let me just comment on that. So number one, AMPK is important. It is important. It's something that is associated with energy production, and that's obviously going to be of universal import in every cell in your body. So that's one of the reasons why coenzyme Q10 and ubiquinol are so popular, is because it works on energy, and you could make virtually any claim under the sun about the benefits of that. So AMPK is another target, and I actually read the article that, I did a little research on this, that's in Life Extension. And Life Extension, God bless them, they're really into the latest, greatest things. They really discover some things that are fantastic.
Yeah.
But they also have a sort of a style that appeals to wonky individuals. You know, there's a lot of really wonky people out there, people who are really well-educated. They have a science background. They are engineers. They're, you know, IT people. They're very literate. You know, they're trained in biology, chemistry, and so on. And that's the kind of crowd that Life Extension appeals to, a wonky kind of crowd. And so you have an article that goes on and on and on and extols the benefits of AMPK and has like 80 or 100 references. It's like goes on and on, scientific reference after scientific reference. And then I go through it, and what I find is that there are a couple of articles on the benefits of this rosehips gynostemmin not even the combination. The vast majority of these, if you read the fine print, are in animals, in fat rats, rodents. One study, however, that I saw was from Korea. It was in the journal Obesity, and it said that this herb might help people lose weight faster. But it was a very small study with 12 people, and I don't know the details of the study. I don't even know if there were any controls in the study. I don't know if it was double-blind placebo, but, you know, it's kind of like, this is promising. On the other hand, metformin, which is a commonly available drug, seems to work on the same pathway. And so, you know, I'm not sure from the information that they're giving me there that this is the latest, greatest thing for weight loss and for all manner of health benefits, or if it's a sort of a weak form of metformin that's from a plant rather than, you know, a chemically purified drug, which, by the way, you know, has some benefits because you can help people lose weight sometimes with metformin. It helps them become more insulin sensitive. And there's actually some cancer benefits even of metformin. So, so the reason I, you know, with due respect to the people who read Life Extension, they are not nutritional scientists. They are, you know, lay people who are really smart. But it takes, I think, the perspective of people like you and I who are in this industry to critically evaluate these claims. And by the way, I'm open to the possibility that this new formula is going to be great, but what I would like to see first is I'd like to see some more studies, number one, some great anecdotes, even some great anecdotes from people who said, hey, you know, I bought it from Life Extension and I tried it and it really works. You know, I really feel great. And I've been on the very same diet and exercise program. My weight loss is accelerating. That even that, you know, that's not considered hard science, but, you know, a good series of anecdotes would get my attention. But my concern is that this may be unleashed prematurely without that much substantiation behind it. And it probably is not harmful or dangerous. I think we're beyond the point where we have that many safety concerns about that, although I guess it's possible they may emerge. But, you know, it smacks of being not just ahead of the curve, but way, way past the edge of the curve, you know, on the bleeding edge of science, which is may or may not pan out. That's my take.
We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. We want to look for scientific research with more rigor.
Yeah, let's officially keep that on our radar screen because, you know, the test of something like this is, if in 2 or 3 years people are still going to be talking about it, you know, because they're sometimes, you know, early adopters will go for something. I'm an early adopter when it makes a lot of sense, but, you know, and Gary Nell, I respect, but I also, you know, I have to independently vet it. You know, it's great when, you know, a lot of people show me stuff and they say, you've got to get out there and talk about it on the radio, and, you know, and manufacturers will send me stuff. And I'll say sometimes, yeah, I'm there. And sometimes I say, you know, look, I have to do my due diligence for my audience because I can't just say, you know, I can't just be an enthusiast about everything.
Yeah.
So that's where it stands with it. By the way, so the product's not going to be it's going to be marketed as AMPK activator or something like that. Is that what it's going to be called?
Because I'm really not sure what they're doing, but they're using those particular Chinese herbs.
Okay.
For that.
Well, rosehips is a Chinese and Western,
Thank you for your question, Michael.
Yeah, Michael's he's a real bird dog there. He's tracking it down for us. We like those kind of listeners.
The next question, the next email is from Art. Dr. Hoffman, recently I attempted to take chondroitin sulfate to strengthen my arteries. And one 600 milligram tablet caused a strong intestinal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I have such a strong reaction to something that's supposed to be beneficial to my body? Is there a different way I should take this product? Take it with food, Art.
Yeah.
Take it with food, not on an empty stomach, for one thing.
Yeah, I laugh because, it's supposed to be so beneficial, and yet it caused me an empty stomach. There's no question that a lot of people have sensitive stomachs, and they could be, there are people who, if you have an ulcer, if you have a problem in your stomach, you could be drinking, pure spring water, and it could hurt, So
it doesn't mean that
I think he's saying this, but it doesn't mean the chondroitin is bad for you. But taking an empty stomach could be a problem. It's also possible that the source doesn't agree. I think some of there's shellfish sources possibly for chondroitin, and some people are sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
as
with anything, some people just have the really unpredictable intolerances, things that are supposed to, that everybody else says I'm fine with. They have an idiosyncratic reaction. But generally, I suggest that, when that happens, it could be a coincidence or it could be due to the fact that you didn't have an empty stomach. Retry it because it's a useful supplement.
Right.
And, we mostly use it for joints. We use it for collagen. We don't so much use it for arterial support, but I guess that's one way. There's connective tissue in the arteries. Yes, you can use it for that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why he's using it to strengthen his arteries. I mean, maybe he has an aneurysm or something like that. He wants to strengthen his arteries so his aneurysm doesn't rupture or something. I don't know what he's thinking.
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know. But take it with plenty of food, Art, to hopefully that will diminish any reaction you're having to it. All right. Thank you for your question.
Yeah.
Let me see here. We've got a question from Bo. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I've had gastro problems for years. Now I'm told I have gastritis after they did a biopsy. I don't want to take the omeprazole, but I've been trying DGL, aloe, with no good results. Now I have a bad metal sour taste in my mouth after eating.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going on here?
Well,
sounds like some reflux.
People with gastritis... what you may be tasting is blood. That's not uncommon. Like a metallic taste from GI bleeding that, generally it goes down, but sometimes people who have ulcers and gastritis have a metallic taste in their mouth. They're missing a couple of steps here. Just taking DGL, not enough. And first of all, people take DGL wrong. They say, well, I'll take 3 a day. No, you have to take about 12 or 15 a day. Just suck on these lozenges all day long.
Yeah.
Because licorice is very healing to the gastrointestinal tract, the number one. Number two, tell us about your GERD diet or your ulcer diet. What does that entail?
Oh, yeah. The GERD diet, very, very helpful. You want to remove certain foods that are irritating, tomato products, mint, chocolate, acidic things, coffee and tea is very acidic. Citrus fruits, certain other stone fruits, certain raw vegetables are problematic, like garlic, onions, maybe raw broccoli may be problematic. And, of course, staying away from spicy foods and try giving up gluten to see if that helps. That is often a tremendous help once it's eliminated.
And sometimes people have specific allergies, too, that there's sometimes... perhaps a dairy allergy. I mean, people have been told for ages to drink milk to settle their stomachs, but there's actually some people who have a specific intolerance to that where that can actually create inflammation. So we test people for food intolerances sometimes and can detect something that's unusual.
Right. Another product that I like very much is called Endofen. That's E-N-D-E-F-E-N, Endofen powder. It's wonderful in terms of its healing capacity to the epithelium, the gastric mucosa, the stomach lining, all of that. And the way to take Endofen is in between meals. You take two level tablespoons in enough water for it to dissolve, and you just drink that down. And over time, it can really help repair and to heal the gastritis.
Yeah, it's a wonderful product.
And any reflux that may be happening.
It's not sold in health food stores. It is available through health practitioners, and we do have it at drhoffman.com. So you've got upper GI problems, you know, stomach, esophagus, GERD, reflux, those are things you can try. Now, people might say, well, I'm already on an acid-blocking medication. Can I still take those things to help me get off the acid-blocking medication? Because the doctor says, now I need to be on this forever. Is that a plausible scenario?
So, Bo, best of luck to you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I want to emphasize that it's not an either-or thing. You can take these things to accelerate healing, because all these medications do is they block acid. They just block the acid. And they don't facilitate healing. So DGL and Endofen actually, they don't block the acid, but they actually soothe and heal the mucosa, which is really what we want. So they can be used as part of a program to wean yourself off. And I wish I had a buck for every patient we've weaned off a lifetime prescription of Nexium or Prilosec or, you know, those types of medications.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have time for one additional question.
We've got, let me see here, succinct one. We've got one from Miriam. Hello there, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Last spring and fall, I've had a period of about 6 weeks of red eyes, where the whites of my eyes turn red and they're teary. I'm 49, I've never had allergies, but now these red eyes start with a little tickly cough and some congestion. What can I do? To the beginning of part one.
So listen to the beginning of part one, which we talk allergy relief. Now, dehist and, you know, vitamin C and things like that. And so the other thing I would say is I think it's not coincidental that she's 49 and this is happening. Dry eyes occur in women at or near the time of menopause. And a natural treatment for dry, irritated eyes is lots of omega-3 oil, maybe 4 capsules of a really premium fish oil a day, along with GLA. 2 capsules of borage oil a day, at least, and do that. You had to do that for, you know, 2-3 months, and I think you'll begin to see changes, because dry eye is an associated symptom of menopause, and at 49 that can occur. Okay. I can't explain the cough, because the cough is not, you know, a menopausal symptom, but it may be that there's a combination of allergy and hormonal changes that's making things worse.
Do you think Miriam mentions that she takes hemp oil. Do you think that would be helpful?
Okay. That it would be helpful or hurtful?
Helpful.
It's a source of omega-3. It is, but it's a sort of a weak source of omega-3. And
not like fish oil.
Right. So yeah. I think it, you know, I think it's not harmful unless she's allergic to hemp oil, which I guess is a possibility.
Yeah, Miriam can try getting tested for food allergies if this is indeed some kind of allergic reaction. That's often helpful.
And take some eye drops. Take some Similisan eye drops. They're available over the counter. It's a homeopathic eye drop. Similisan.
Similisan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're available even at major chain drugstores now.
Homeopathy is a wonderful thing.
That's not according to the FDA.
Great.
You know, they recently just held hearings. Actually, we're going to interview one of the top experts on homeopathy. He calls it nanopharmacology, which I think is good because the homeopathy has a bad rep. But nanopharmacology is a way to maybe take it forward in the 21st century to take away the stigma of homeopathy as some kind of old-fashioned, outmoded type of treatment. And Dana Ullman is going to join us this month to give us an account of what happened at the FDA. They heard from a number of experts on homeopathy. And, you know, this is yet another effort to regulate natural products. And hopefully we can push back against onerous regulation because there's a lot of value to these products.
Absolutely. Yeah.
On the one hand, the FDA is claiming that these products are, there's absolutely nothing there and that they're inefficacious. On the other hand, they're suggesting these products can cause grievous harm. So make up your mind. I mean, if it's nothing, you know, then it's, I mean, the only harm that it might cause is to give people a false sense of security that they can rely on these medications if they have a serious disease, which I think most people are sensible enough not to do. But, you know, that's how the FDA thinks. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Remember, upcoming seminar, mark your calendars, New York City, June 24th. But for those of you who can make it, good news, because we're going to turn it into a webinar that you can access via drhoffman.com. And that way you can get all the important content that we share with our in-studio audience. And the topic of the seminar will be food cravings and how to avert them.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much, Layla, and I'll see you in the office tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.